And I have got to, I want to apologize profusely for making you wait here this morning on the phone, Matt Rosenberg, but I sure do appreciate your time and for waiting to be on with me on Freedom's Pep Rally.
I'm pleased to be here. Thanks for having me on.
Now, I love the name of the new book. The new book is titled, What's Next, Chicago? Notes of a Pissed Off Native Son. So what, and now, are you in Chicago currently? You still living in Illinois?
I am back in Chicago right now. I lived here for 30 years, and I came back last year to live here for several months because what was going on in the city in 2020, especially after the death of George Floyd, just kind of drew me back. I saw things going very badly wrong and had to come and really kind of dig in. So I'm happy to tell you a little bit more about that. But yeah, I grew up here. So, you know, this place is stamped upon my consciousness. I am a Chicagoan, even though for the last few decades, my wife and I have raised our children out in Seattle, which is kind of in the mix of things with cities that have problems these days. But, yeah, I'm back home now.
Now, how are things in Lori Lightfoot's Chicago? Are they much different than they were under the previous mayor of Chicago?
A lot of the same problems still exist, but they've gotten worse. Violence is spiraling out of control in Lori Lightfoot's Chicago, and the county court system, which she is not directly responsible for, bears a lot of the blame. There's a revolving door policy, and that has a lot to do with something they call bail reform here, which is popular in other progressive cities suffering from really systemic misrule, is how I would put it. It was originally intended to basically be a get-out-of-jail-free card for first-time nonviolent offenders, the bail reform policies that have been adopted by local and county court systems in certain big cities around the country. But it's gone badly wrong because a lot of the judges are extending this low-cash or no-cash bail to violent criminals right after they've been arrested.
Right.
They are let out before trial. Maybe they slap an ankle bracelet on them, but nobody in Cook County much is able to monitor these guys when they go off the reservation and violate the terms of their electronic monitoring. And then all too often, before they face trial for whatever they've been arrested for, which might be a carjacking or a shooting or even a murder, they're let out and they may do the same thing again or something else that's, you know, definitely a violent crime. So this is part of the new unreality show, as I call it, in Lori Lightfoot's Chicago. But the spiraling violent crime is just one thing. We've got broken schools. We've got amazing, huge, disturbing amount of public employee pension debt. We've got a political rhetoric that just won't quit from the left, led by the mayor, that assigns every problem to systemic racism, when, as I said, the real problem is systemic misrule by this urban progressive elite that has run this city and many others into the ground. Then you've got the endemic corruption. All big cities have it, as you know. But in Chicago, it's been perfected and elevated, if that's the word, to a high art. And to support that endemic corruption, we have here in Chicago some very rigged rules of governance. And this is the fine print stuff that'll kill you in the end, and such as the timing of our local elections being used to suppress voter turnout. And, you know, I can tell you more about some of that stuff later if you like. But we got a very rich, toxic brew of things going on in Lori Lightfoot's Chicago. And sadly, she has not seemed equal to the task, although she's a capable woman with an impressive background. So we're in a real fix here.
Now, Lori Lightfoot is also one of these, I believe she is part of the Defund the Police movement, and she also dislikes very much ICE and DHS. She doesn't like the illegal aliens being taken care of and sent back or locked up or what have you. And my question is, why? I mean, why do they want this to happen? Couldn't the police do a better job at taking care of the weekly violence, all the many shootings in Chicago, if they just got rid of some of the illegal alien problems, which Lori Lightfoot has no interest in fixing?
I need to learn more about her stance on those issues. I'm afraid I can't speak in detail to that. I can say that policing tactics and strategy matter a lot, and so does the political environment surrounding policing. And there's been this long, slow roll here in Chicago, New York City, Philadelphia, San Francisco, Los Angeles, Seattle, Portland, and other cities, this long, slow roll toward turning police into the bad guys, right?
Right.
And
right.
One of the many people I interviewed for my book was a Chicago cop, and he explained to me something that I've heard is happening in New York City and other places, too. They're holding back. The so-called de-policing is a real thing. They don't want the trouble and the bother of being accused as a racist for quite possibly just doing their job. So they ride around in their cars a lot, and they're basically just showing up after the fact.
Right.
To 911 calls when the bullets have already been fired. And what we need is something we once had back here for a Kentucky Minute there under Rahm Emanuel and a police chief then named Jerry McCarthy back around 2013. We had foot patrols, extensive foot patrols in the high crime neighborhood, and that actually makes a pretty big dent in violent crime. And that's been shown elsewhere, too. Not just Chicago. So we need cops out on the street, feet on the beat, as they say.
Great.
And the trend is very much away from that because you get a lot of cries and accusations of over-policing of minority neighborhoods the minute you see a bunch of cops walking around on a regular basis. So we need to really repair that perception of police, and we need to get more of them out there with their feet on the street, for starters. So it's multifaceted, you know, what to do about crime. But I think that's a big, big part of it.
The author is Matt Rosenberg, and the book is What Next, Chicago? Notes of a Pissed Off Native Son. This sounds like a tremendous read for anybody wanting to know what is going on in, arguably one of the most dangerous cities in America. I mean, how many shootings do you average every single weekend there? And why do you think, Matt, that they're so high? Is it mostly gang and drug related? And why aren't these areas being policed, these people being taken in and locked up?
A typical weekend in Chicago will be anywhere from 50 to 100 shootings and anywhere from, 5 to 15 people killed.
Yeah.
So it's really quite alarming. Sometimes they are arrested. We have a state's attorney here who was reelected by a large margin in 2020. An African-American woman named Kim Fox, who has been very upfront with voters that her mission is social justice. She finds a lot of ways to not prosecute people charged with violent crime.
Right.
She holds the police to a high standard on producing good evidence that can, result in a conviction. No one should begrudge that idea. But you have to wonder about whether it's being applied judiciously or not. It just seems that no matter what happens, these guys are let out fast and they're back out there doing stuff. Sometimes it's bad plea deals, and there have been some just totally, totally heinous plea agreements in which, for instance, a guy who committed a sexual assault of a woman upon public transportation was let out with counseling on probation and then did more of the same within several months.
Wow.
We've had guys out on low cash bond, and that goes back to the county courts and the chief judge rather than the prosecutor. A guy who smashed the window of a gun shop and took a dozen or two dozen weapons. A guy who was then 17, he was just put on an ankle bracelet. He went out and committed more mayhem, and then shortly after they took his ankle bracelet off, while he was still awaiting trial, he went into a Walgreens drugstore and stabbed 10 times in the neck a young mother about 30 years old who worked as a clerk there. So now two children are without their mother, and her boyfriend is without the love of his life. You know, stuff like this is just absolutely heinous, and it seems to happen almost all the time in Chicago. So it's a culture of lenience. It's a culture that downplays accountability. And I think, frankly, this sounds like a reach maybe to some people. It actually goes back to the universities in our country over the last 50 years.
Right.
If you look at the people who've been coming up and going into government and going into law, and they're suffused with this social justice agenda that, you know, if taken in small doses, a lot of it makes a lot of sense. You know, one time maybe we arrested too many people for too many minor drug charges in this country. No matter what you think of drug use, things were out of whack maybe several decades back, but we've swung quite far in the opposite direction now, and it's a terror dome on the streets here in Chicago. Even in neighborhoods that didn't used to be dicey, including downtown, you can barely walk around now. You know, you got guys popping out of carjacked SUVs, cleaning everybody out of their phones and wallets, and they might get 14 to 20 victims over the course of several hours. It's like the Wild West out here. So something's gone way off the rails.
Now, you're saying it's like the Wild West, and you live there. I've always, you know, I talk to people who visit Chicago, who have relatives in Chicago, and they say, well, you know, in the places you go, it's, and I'm sure there are nice places everywhere you go, but I imagine there have been times when you yourself have seen the violence, I'm sure more than once. Is it pretty widespread, and is it pretty common to see somebody assaulted or robbed or carjacked or shot when you're a Chicagoan?
Increasingly so, including downtown and on the near north and near west sides, which are, you know, generally more of your higher income and tourist areas. It's getting to be a not uncommon sight to see something really really alarming going down, such as an armed robbery or a carjacking. We've got an awful, awful problem with carjacking here where, you know, armed car thieves, they will drive up in two other stolen vehicles. They have carjacking crews. And if you're sitting at the curb in your car, number one, don't ever do that. Number two, take a course in defensive and evasive driving. It's gotten like that here. They will box you in so you can't move your car, and they will come out with guns drawn and say, get out of the car, give me your keys, your wallet, and your phone. And this, you know, happened 1,400 times in Chicago last year. And
now
we're on pace to exceed that. Then we've got the expressway shootings where, you know, no other metro region in the country has expressway shootings, and it's not road rage, it's gang members taking their beef to the highway. So there's a lot of horrible stuff going down, but in my book I do outline policy solutions and success stories, and I do want to emphasize that although it could go on forever with everything that's wrong here, there are some good things happening. There's a private school scholarship program the state legislature enabled through a state income tax credit. We have to make that now a permanent program, not just a pilot program. There are charter schools, public charter schools in the city of Chicago that have shown great promise. Unfortunately, there is a growth cap on them now. But most of all, John, on the south side, where I went deep into the city, into people's homes and workplaces, and talked to Black Chicagoans, their success stories, they're people who get it. There are ex-convicts who found the right path and are entrepreneurs now. There are Christian homeschooling moms who work as entrepreneurs. There are people who are turning their lives around, and people who understand that a lot of this change starts one household at a time, right? So the city is not without hope. And also, it is, like New York City, like San Francisco, there are great things here. There's culture, there's brain power, there's great universities, there are fascinating and successful entrepreneurs, and most of the people are great. But what we're suffering from is what I call a tyranny of the minority.
Yeah.
You know, we've got maybe 5% of the households, and there's about 1 million households in the city of Chicago and 2.7 million people. About 5% of the households, maybe, you know, the parents just aren't doing their job. They're not raising their kids with what I like to call moral authority.
Right.
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 So they're wreaking a lot of damage on the city as a whole, and that's just a big part of the problem here.
Matt Rosenberg, author of What Next Chicago? Notes of a Pissed Off Native Son. A couple more questions coming to mind here before I forget. I'm going to ask two of them right now so I don't forget either one. You're talking about Kim Fox and how social justice is her thing. And I believe, if I'm not mistaken, she is the one that allowed Jussie Smollett, who faked a racial hate crime, let him walk. That's question number one. And question number two, how hard is it to get a permit to be able to be a law-abiding gun-carrying citizen in the city of Chicago?
Number one, yes, Kim Fox's office was closely involved in the Jussie Smollett fiasco. Now, I should caution that he was brought up again on charges of faking a hate crime after Fox's office dismissed the charges in a very suspicious manner,
right,
a very politicized manner. So he will be going to trial, and they've begun preliminary proceedings. And, you know, so a verdict has not been rendered. But, yeah, it sure looks like a pretty suspect report that he made in the first place.
Right.
And the whole episode gave the city a black eye. Here we were painted as this racist, awful city where something like what he reported could happen. And, I mean, bad stuff has actually happened.
Right,
here.
Of course.
There have been times when the police were out of line and young black men died as a result.
Right.
Nobody is saying that kind of accountability is not important. It is everywhere. But this was just a very odd, twisted case right from the get-go, and it remains so. So, yes, her office was central to that, and so was she, even though she tried to recuse herself from the case. Remind me what your second question was.
Okay. I mean, you're talking about all these carjackings. I wouldn't dare to travel in a vehicle with my family through Chicago. You know, I live in a very rural place. I'm very comfortable driving anywhere here. I would not be comfortable driving, especially at night, because I listen to the scanner. How hard is it in Lori Lightfoot's or even Rahm Emanuel, former Mayor Rahm Emanuel's Chicago, to be a law-abiding gun owner carrying protection with you, because that's the only thing that's going to possibly stop these thugs?
I would say so long as you do not have a prior felony conviction, it is not terribly difficult at all. Plenty of people carry, and of course, most of them are law-abiding. The problem is, there's a great deal of you know, illegal guns out there that, you know, that are being used without the proper paperwork. And there's a never-ending supply of them. And then there's just a lot of guys who shouldn't have them because they already have prior felony convictions, but they've got them anyway. So the police, I will say, are doing a yeoman's job in getting, you know, illegal gun carriers and illegal guns off the streets of Chicago. But the problem they're up against is that the supply never ends.
Right.
And from my own perspective, you know, when Lori Lightfoot came out earlier this year after one of our numerous mass shootings in which I think four or five people were killed in early June in our Englewood neighborhood on the south side. That was the neighborhood that inspired Spike Lee's movie called Chi-Raq, to give you a little flavor.
Wow.
She said, well, you know, it would be a whole different ballgame if there weren't so many guns. And I thought, you know, dream on from your lips to God's ears.
Right.
Maybe. Although I wouldn't want to see legal gun owners, you know, having their weapons seized by the state. You can't do that.
Right.
But the point is, the problem is not guns. It's the tendency to use them for no good reason whatsoever. And that goes back to the gangbangers. It goes back to what one of our bright lights in city government, an alderman named Ray Lopez from the 15th Ward of Chicago, has called the borderline breakdown of the family unit. So the problem is not guns by themselves. The problem is young men specifically.
Yeah.
And particularly young men of color who are just running off the rails right from the get-go.
Right.
And actually, the social science research ties, you know, the odds of incarceration and a number of other problems straight back to being raised in a single-parent home. And for about 12 years under Rahm Emanuel, and I give him some credit here, the city did actually gather the data on basically fatherless children. They counted how many births, including by race, were to single mothers, to unmarried mothers. And they found that for African Americans over 11 years, from 1999 to 2009 in Chicago, more than 80% of the births to African American women were to unmarried African American women. For Latinos, it was about 50%. For whites, you know, closer to 10 or 12%. And for Asians, you know, like maybe 6%.
Yep.
So, you know, having a father in the home matters. It's just common sense. It's stuff, you know, your grandma told you. It's still true. And it's very much tied to the violence problem we have in Chicago. You know, you can't prove it.
Right.
It's a correlation, not a direct causation, but it's starting to feel almost like a direct causation. The fact that daddies aren't around in these very same homes where young men are running off rails and committing violent crimes and making the city a crazy place to live.
We hear that over and over again, and it seems that the progressives want to break down. They don't see any use for the nuclear family, and that in and of itself is just a horrible thing to hear. But they push against the nuclear family at every turn they possibly can, and encourage women to go out there and do it on their own without men. We don't need men. And then they go out and have children. So many have abortions, as you know, and that's a big minority problem. And then you've got people like Lori Lightfoot. You mentioned that she went out there after one of the shootings. And I recall a time, I think it was last year, after it was just a horrible weekend for deaths in your city. And she went out there in a green cowboy hat, giddy up census cowboy, completely tone deaf to what is going on in the city she is charged with managing. Do you remember that one?
I don't remember that one, but in my book, I recount some other things that have come up in the news here, and there is a tone deafness to her manner that is concerning. I liken her action sometimes to that of Captain Queeg in that great novel, The Caine Mutiny.
Yeah.
Maybe you remember.
I do.
Humphrey Bogart playing Captain Queeg. She sent out an email to a bunch of her aides because she was upset about them not scheduling what some executives call blue sky time, where
right.
you get to sit and just, you know, think of new ideas to deal with the issues that are on your plate. But in it, she repeated herself 12 times, then 16 times using certain, you know, insulting phrases,
yep.
basically dressing them down. And she just sounded like she had lost her mind.
Yeah.
Yep. And it wasn't the first time. There's been picking fights with aldermen, more than the usual friction between a government executive and legislators. There's been picking fights with reporters. She has just seemed badly, badly tone deaf a lot of the time. And, you know, you need your legislative body to work with you. You can't afford to antagonize them. You need the media's support as well. And you need the support of the public. You need to look like you're in charge, in control, and taking care of business. And she's completely lost control.
Yep.
So the 2023 mayoral race here is already shaping up as an interesting one. And there's a considerable possibility she might not even run, that she might just step down after one term. If she does run, it's going to be a very rough ride. And I think we need somebody here more like Eric Adams, the guy who will shortly become the mayor of New York City. You know, someone, he worked as a policeman.
Yes.
He happens to be
yep.
black. We need another mayor of color. The city is increasingly black and Latino, well, and Asian as well. And Eric Adams supports the police. He supports school choice. He's a reasonable guy. He's a centrist Democrat. That's what we need here in Chicago, heading our city government, not another far left apologist, you know, for radical extremists, not someone who constantly trots out the mantra of systemic racism every time there's a problem with educational
right.
achievement, with violence, with health disparities. We need a mayor who understands and espouses the value that people are responsible for their actions. People are responsible for the way they live their lives. We've got to get past this excuse-making and blame-shifting, or the city can never get on its right feet here.
Yeah, absolutely. No, that's great. You've got great perspective, and you come from a good place to be able to scrutinize all that's going on there. And this book sounds like a great read. It's What Next, Chicago? Notes of a Pissed Off Native Son. It's Matt Rosenberg, a reporter. You've been a reporter. You've been a cab driver. Do you have any really good cab stories you can tell us about your life as a yellow cab driver?
I have a few good taxicab stories. I have some even better limousine stories because I drove. This was just during a two-year period when I took some time off from college to kind of get my head on straight.
Yeah.
I have some pretty good limousine stories, including one time I drove the Grateful Dead, but I don't think I'm allowed to talk about it.
Oh, is it really? Oh, that's great.
All I can tell you is they were pretty bourgeois, okay?
Wow.
And it had to do with illegal substances. That's all I'm going to say.
That was when Jerry Garcia was alive?
It was, although he was not in my car. One time when I drove my cab in Chicago, I turned it into a bus, which was an illegal thing to do. But it was during a blizzard, and I had a lot of fun with that. Made a huge pile of money that day. But, yeah, there are stories. And actually, there are a few stories like that at my website, which I'd love for your listeners to know about.
Please do.
Getting the book. My website is at chicagoschooled.com, and schooled has a K in it.
S-K-O-O-L-E-D.
You got it. Chicagoschool.com.
I love it.
I've got some long form essays there. I've got more links to buy the book. And I'm also on Twitter at Chicago School.
Great. Now, is it spelled the same way, Chicago Schools? Chicago School?
With a K. Right.
Okay, perfect. All right, chicagoschooled.com. You can get the book there. The book is What Next Chicago? Notes of a Pissed Off Native Son. And that native son is Matt Rosenberg. And I can't wait to go to the website. I love stories. I love the Grateful Dead story. I want to learn more about the bus story. And, geez, I appreciate your time and your willingness to be so candid about the city that you love, a great American city, to be sure, but certainly seeing its share of problems now.
It's been my pleasure talking to you, John. And, you know, my hope is that there can be some kind of bottom-up revolution here where more people get involved, more people vote. We only have 33% turnout in our local elections because they're scheduled at a very odd time.
Wow.
In odd numbered years and early months of the year. We need to change state law so that our city of Chicago elections can be held at the same time as the presidential elections. When we get 70% turnout, a number of governmental reforms need to occur, including term limits and independent commissions mapping the city legislative districts, which are called wards, rather than politicians gerrymandering the city district boundaries and smoke-filled rooms, which we're about to get one more time to last for the next 10 years. They've really fixed the rules behind the scenes. The fine print will kill you.
Yep.
So somehow or other, citizens and nonprofit leaders and the few politicians of real conscience that we have here, along with enlightened business leaders, I believe, need to step up and foment a bottom-up revolution to change things here. If it doesn't come from the bottom up, it'll never happen. So it'll be interesting to see because we might be at a turning point. So
yeah.
I'm going to stay on top of it and keep reporting and writing about it. And we'll just have to see. Maybe in a year or two or three, we'll have some better news to report about this city.
Well, I sure hope you do. And I really appreciate your time, Dan. Excuse me, Matt. I don't know why I called you Dan. I was thinking of my brother, I guess. Matt Rosenberg has written the book. And this is available at your website as well as at Amazon, I'm sure. Amazon and Barnes & Noble.
That is correct. It's online only. So people can either go to my website and connect to the two online stores, or they can go directly to Amazon.com or BarnesandNoble.com and just enter What Next Chicago, and they'll be taken to the purchase page. And I do hope people will read it and spread the word if they think it's good.
All right, buddy. I thank you so much for your time, Matt Rosenberg, and hopefully we'll talk with you again. And we urge everybody to check out the website, Chicago Schooled, schooled with a K, S-K-O-O-L-E-D.com. And you, my friend, have a great day.
Thank you, John. It's been a pleasure, and you too.
Bye, Matt.